Don't be shy. Come on, guys. Come down and see Miss Karen. Not you, sir. There is an age limit. Bring. Oh, she's eating. Come on down here, dudes. Sit right here by Miss Karen.
They look good, don't they?
I know. Good morning, guys. We decided since you guys were going to stay in here with us this morning that maybe we'll talk a little bit about what Christmas is about. We're here because there is a birthday today. Yeah, Jesus' birthday. Did y'all have a party for Jesus this week? Somewhere at church we had a party for Jesus. Well, you know what? The part of Christmas I love the most are the music and the singing and the bells and the ringing of the bells. I want you guys to grab a bell out of my bag this morning, out of my bucket. Can you grab a bell? It's like the bell from the Polar Express. It sure is. You like those bells too? I know. They're exciting. Well, you know what? There's something special inside that bell that makes it. It sure does. It's something that makes it jingle. Can you see what's inside that bell that makes it jingle? Can you see? It's a marble. There's something inside there, isn't there? Okay, well, now I want you to take one of these bells. Look at these bells.
They don't have any jingle.
What?
There's no marble in it.
Well, why is... But it looks just like the other bell. Doesn't it? You mean that bell doesn't look like this bell? Yeah, it looks like this bell, doesn't it? This bell rings. Yeah, bell's not ringing.
This bell's ringing.
Yeah. Okay, so why isn't your bell ringing?
Because it doesn't have the marble.
It doesn't have the marble inside of it. You know, Christmas sometimes is like those bells that you're holding that don't have the marble. Sometimes we leave something out of Christmas. We leave Jesus out of Christmas, don't we? We leave Christ out of the reason that we're here. I'm so glad you guys came this morning. And I'm really glad that you guys have put Christ in your Christmas. I'm glad that your bell jingles and it's not one of those bells that don't jingle. I'm really glad that you guys came this morning and put Christ in your Christmas. Let's pray before we go. Father God, we thank you so much for this wonderful time. And Father, we thank you for the fact that you are the reason we are here. That Christ in Christmas is the only reason we celebrate Christmas. And Father, we ask that you help us to keep the jingle in our bell, to keep you in the reason that we celebrate this time. In his precious name, amen.
Amen. Isn't that what it's all about right there? Amen. Well, while they're leaving, I wanted to share something with you this morning, which I know you'll be very interested in. But I wanted to share you a few of my things that I got for Christmas. I got a pair of socks. I got some Baskin-Robbins gift certificates, which that's big for me. I have a state championship t-shirt. Somebody bought me a shirt that I can wear to church. I got me a mug, and I got me a devotion. And I'm sure this all came from Karen's family yesterday when we went to Hot Springs. And I'm all sure you got some gifts this morning too. But what about all those gifts? Those socks, you know, probably within a month or two will have holes in them. That shirt will have stains at the first trip out in it. That book I'll read, but it'll be for 1 year, and then it'll sit on the shelf because it's over in 1 year, the devotion. All of those things are so temporary, and we get these gifts for Christmas, and we put them in our bag, and we're excited for them, but they're temporary. And what I want to talk to you this morning about is Jesus, and what's so special about Jesus is He's not temporary. Jesus is the forever one. Forever and ever and ever. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 1, because I want to read you a Christmas story, maybe a Christmas story in which you haven't thought of as such. But John chapter 1 in the first 14 verses reminds us of the story of Christmas. And the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Verse 6. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and he came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light." Verse 9, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." Who is that light? Yeah. "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh, and it dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and full of truth." There's the Christmas story spoken in John. Now turn back a couple of pages over to Luke, which we read last night, and you'll see in Luke chapter 2 is another version of the Christmas story. We'll pick up in verse 4. "And Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same reason, these shepherds were out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you this born this day is the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord.'" The Christmas story. And so when you read the Christmas story, you see that there is Mary, and Mary is the favored one. And you see that Joseph, he is the faithful one. And then the Bible talks about these shepherds as being the following ones. But then we get to this man named Jesus, which is known as the forever one. You see, the name of Jesus is a sweet name. It's a declarative name. It declares his purpose, and his purpose was to be a Savior. His purpose, as Sherry sang or said before, was to be a Savior. It was his greatest gift. There's one thing sure. When Jesus began his physical earthly ministry, his physical earthly existence, it was not his beginning. Remember the book of John in chapter 8, verse 58 says, "Before Abraham was I." His claim was to be before Abraham, which would go back multiplied hundreds of years before. It's no wonder that this man's birth, that this Savior's birth, was announced by angels. It's no wonder it was wondered after by all of these men, that it was witnessed by the stars, and it was influential in changing a human life. Aren't you glad that this little baby that was born in a manger changed your life? He was deity. He was God, surrounded and enclosed by human flesh. You see, nothing ever has affected human beings more in all of the history of man than the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ on that Christmas morning into this world of sorrow and into this world of pain. There's a song that says, out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe, only His great eternal love made my Savior go. You see, the holiday talk is of reindeer and lights and trees and flowers and parties and food and presents and Santa Claus. But the Christmas talk, the Christmas party, should be that of the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Christ is and should be the most dominating, most talked about, most outstanding person of Christmas. So what is all of our hustle and bustle really about? What is all of that about? I think of hustle and bustle of what Steve's going through this morning, the first time without a loved one at Christmas. I think about someone that maybe has their baby here for the first time. They're sharing their first Christmas with a baby. Maybe you this morning are going through your first Christmas without a parent or without a spouse. All of the hustle and bustle. But then in the middle of all of that, we find Jesus. In the middle of all of that, we find our Savior. You see, we think of shepherds and wise men and Mary and Joseph and angels and a host of other things about Christmas. But in the very center of it all, laying in that manger, in that cave, was baby Jesus. The person of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the living God. I love how John in his gospel presents the Lord Jesus Christ. He presents Him in so many ways. In chapter 1, in verse 1, he says He is the what? The Word. That Christ is the Word. And as our words reveal our heart and our mind, even so does Christ reveal the heart and mind of His Father. In John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says that He is the light. We lit candles last night, and our candles are temporary, but God's light is eternal. It is forever and ever and ever and ever. He is the true original light from which all other light came from. In John chapter 1 and verse 34, the Bible says He is the Son of God. That claim brought about much persecution toward Christ. There are seven people in John's gospel that called Him the Son of God. There was John the Baptist. There was Nathanael. There was Peter. There was the healed blind man. There was Martha. There was Thomas. And then there was the Apostle John. Seven people called Him the Son of God. In John chapter 1, verse 39 through 41, the Bible says He is the Christ. And Christ means the Anointed One. Christ means the Messiah. In John chapter 1, verse 29, it says He is the Lamb of God. Of all of the Old Testament lambs, point to the great Lamb of all lambs, Jesus. And then in John chapter 1, verse 49, it says, He is the King of Israel. He offered Himself to them as king, but they said, we have no king but who? Caesar. We have no king but Caesar. John 19, 15. And then in John chapter 1, verse 50 and 51, the Bible says, He is the Son of Man. He is the God ladder. between heaven and earth, revealing God to men and taking men to God. That's the Christ that we celebrate today. What a unique person this baby, this Jesus, this Savior is, who could create this world, who could allow men to have salvation, who could reveal God, who could baptize with the Spirit, who could know every detail about every person, who could forgive every sin and open the doors to this place called heaven. Remember what John 14:6 says. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except how? Through Jesus. Himself being the way. This unique person was all of those things, including the way. And all of these things could have been only true of this one man, of this one Savior, Jesus Christ. I was reading the other day Daniel Webster. In the prime of his manhood, he was dining out with a group of literary guys in Boston. And during the dinner, the conversation turned upon the subject of Christianity. And Mr. Webster stated his belief in the deity of Christ and the dependence upon him as a Savior. And one of the men said to Mr. Webster, he said, "Can you comprehend how Christ could be both God and man?" And Mr. Webster replied, "No, sir, I cannot comprehend it. If I could comprehend him, then he would be no greater than myself. I need a superhuman Savior." Now, I don't know about you this morning, but Billy needs a superhuman Savior. He needs someone that I can't comprehend. Praise God, he's more than just a man. The main thrust of the four Gospels in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in presenting Christ, remember that Matthew presents Him as this sovereign King. Mark presents Him as Jesus the servant. Luke presents Him as the Son of Man. And thank God that John presents Him as the Son of the Almighty God. You see, the only conclusion a sane and sensible person can come to is that Jesus existed before any matter. That is, before anything that occupied space. That is, before anything that had weight. Christ is before it all. He is before every speck of dirt. He is before every blade of grass. He is before every ray of sunlight. He is before every rippling brook, every star that hangs on nothing in the sky. It is difficult to find the words. It is difficult to know what to say to describe such a unique and wonderful person like Jesus Christ, the forever one. You know, I was thinking about what word could I use? What is one word I could use to describe this unique Savior? What is a word? You know, we wear words out in our, you know, love's so misused. Even Christian is so misused in today's world. There are so many words that we have worn out. What is a word? And I couldn't think of one. That there was a, maybe the word special rings a bell in my heart that we can ascribe to all that He has done and all who He is and what He proclaims. And maybe that word speaks of a different than somebody else, a different kind of somebody, a distinctive, peculiar, maybe even unique person. That word can mean exceptional. It can mean extraordinary. It can mean highly regarded. It can mean valued. I don't know of another word that can describe who He is. He has the qualities, the aspects, the uses that differentiate Him from all others, from everyone around Him. But the main reason that Jesus is special is that Jesus is forever. He's forever. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, He's forever. He's eternal. There's nothing that we have in this world other than Jesus that is eternal. Think about that. There's nothing else. Your money is not eternal. I've been to a lot of funerals. I've never seen a U-Haul on the back of the hearse. Yeah, never seen that. Have you? They don't let it take you with you or take it with you. It's not eternal. There's nothing we have eternal. All those gifts that we got today, they're not eternal. They're going to go away. They're going to wear out. They're going to rot. They're going to get ruined. We're going to lose them. They're not eternal. Christ is eternal. Forever. Forever. And forever. You see, when Christ came and He was laying in that manger, and then a few years later, He was hanging upon that cross, and He came down off of that cross, and they put Him in a tomb, and He came out of that tomb 3 days later as the risen Savior. He came out as an eternal being, eternal God, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. And when He got out of that tomb, He assured that you and I, who believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Christ is Lord, that we also have eternal life. The beauty of who Jesus really is. We're not dealing with some has-been. We're not dealing with some dude that was 2,000 years ago and we're worshiping in a grave. We're dealing with a very unique deity of God. We're not dealing with the way it used to be or the way it's always been. For since He is the eternal God, He is what has been forever and will be as far as we can see forever. The same as He is today. Isaac Watts wrote in a song called Jesus Shall Reign. He said, Jesus shall reign where'er the sun does His successive journeys run. His kingdom spread from shore to shore till moon shall wax and wane no more. Jesus shall reign. Did you know that, church? That Jesus shall reign? Did you know that? That Jesus shall reign in the world. That Jesus shall reign in the United States of America. That Jesus shall reign in Russellville, Arkansas. That Jesus shall reign at 1312 Whippoorwill Lane. That Jesus shall reign at Second Baptist Church. That Jesus shall reign in your home and your home and your home and your home. That Jesus shall reign whether you believe in Him or not. That Jesus shall reign whether you worship Him or not. Jesus shall reign. And church, there's not a lot you can do about it. You can disclaim Him. You can turn away from Him. You can say, I'm going to church on Christmas and Easter, and I'm not walking back in there, and I'm not going to do anything with the church. Jesus still shall reign. The Bible says in Philippians that every knee will do what? It'll bow. Every knee. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And folks, that's me and that's you. We're going to bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I've said this before, I'll say it again. You can either walk down that aisle and accept Christ, or they're going to roll you down that aisle, but you're coming down that aisle. One way or another. And you will bow before the mighty King. Men will live and men will die, and the kingdoms will rise and fall. But Jesus is the one who rose from the dead and said to John on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18. The Bible says, I am He that liveth and was dead. We had that, Luke. I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys to hell and death. Let me ask you this morning, is Jesus the forever one in your life? Do you understand eternity? Do you understand forever? It's hard for us to understand those words, but that's exactly what Jesus is. Can you honestly say this morning that He is the reason for the season at your house? Is He the reason for the season in your place? Even in the hustle and bustle of all the things that are going around, does Jesus show up? And maybe this morning you need to meet the Forever One. Maybe this morning you need to turn back to the Forever One. Maybe you've gone astray, and maybe it's time that you come back. And maybe you need to know Him Maybe you do know Him and you need to turn over some things to Him. Maybe your life's in a flux and you're tired of dealing with it. You're tired of trying to do it in your own power. And Jesus says, come. Come. Lay that down at my feet. Come. I don't know that we understand how truly blessed we are to be able to live in a place, to be able to come and worship in a place, a risen Savior, to get up in our own homes and drive our own cars, to get to do whatever it is we want to do, to have the freedom that we have in the very place that we live. And for all of those things, we sure gripe and complain a lot, don't we? But boy, shouldn't we be encouraged and excited about getting up and living another day of freedom, another day of sacrifice, another day of encouraging somebody else, and another day of worshiping an Almighty God. How could life be better? I don't know of any other place I'd rather live. I don't know of another country I'd rather be to you. We gripe about it, but we like it. Should we not take that for granted? Jesus is the forever one in our life. My prayer this morning and on this Christmas day is that He is the forever one in your life and that you understand eternity is forever. Jesus, thank You this morning for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for the Christmas story. And Father, I pray this morning that we would understand in our hearts and in our minds that You are forever, everlasting, eternal, not just here today and gone tomorrow, not a has-been, but You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Father, we praise You for that. Father, maybe someone here this morning needs to meet the forever one. What a day to give your life to Christ on His birthday. Maybe someone here this morning wants to join this fellowship. Maybe God's been working on them and today is that day. Maybe you just need to come to the altar and pray. I don't know. Whatever God has for you this morning. Father, we lift this invitation into Your hands and we ask You to bless it. In Jesus' name. Would you stand?